So welcome everyone to this session, Blended Assessment, Opportunities in the Flipped Classroom. So the big ideas this week, we're going to look at blended assessment. We're going to look at what it is and what it could be. We once again are going to come back to the idea of backward design and looking at learning outcomes and what kinds of practices and experiences we want our learners to have and what kinds of assessments we can design to provide evidence that they have mastered or accomplished those learning tasks. We are going to look at the advantages and disadvantages of on-site and online assessments. What are the pros and cons? And we are finally then going to look at some of the options digital gives you and a table to think about when you are putting your blended assessments into practice. Thinking of your blend, four dialecticals. When we think of our blend, we should think holistically. And on this slide, we have a graphic from an excellent resource, Planning for a Blended Future, which I have shared with you in the materials section. In the publication, they outline four areas or dialecticals that we should consider when putting the blend together. They start with the technological. Here we can have no tech or lean tech, which is in their view, something like a face-to-face session or a book, up to a high technology, which could utilize rich technology tools, which they talk about as YouTube or live meeting tools such as Zoom or Google Meet or AR or VR. The list is endless. So that's the technology. Then you can consider the temporal element. Do students meet together in real time? That's synchronous, and that can happen in face-to-face or online, or do they work independently over time, which is asynchronous? Okay, so think about that. Spatial, do the students learn together or independently from one another? The spatial and the temporal are often tied together. They're as essential components in understanding and structuring human learning. And then the last one is the pedagogical dimension, which we're thinking a lot about. And this is the most critical of the dialecticals, according to the authors. It is about moving to a more active form of teaching, learning, including assessment. So that's what we're going to explore this week, considering what blended assessment might look for you and your learners. And this graphic ties in with the Teach Nimble Blended Learning Framework, but it gives you another perspective that might help you in your planning of your blend. Assessment in blended environments. Blended learning can expand the means and methods by which educators measure student learning outcomes. It opens up new possibilities for both on-site and online assessments. On-site, you can monitor exams and directly observe student presentations, skill demonstrations, or communication. Online, student work can be submitted and it can be reviewed digitally. Performance can be recorded or live streamed. Knowledge can be objectively assessed through computer-based testing, and progress can be tracked over time through e-portfolios and other tools. So when we interweave both the on-site and online, we are creating opportunities to provide more variety so that learners don't get bored with overusing one form of assessment, and it can also support more authentic forms of assessment that gathers evidence from multiple perspectives. It can support increased frequency. You can move away from high pressure one-off assessments to lower stakes assessments that are spread out over time. And there you do something like a portfolio. Opportunity to engage in more authentic or real world assessments. So these can be done both on site and online. And during COVID-19, many ETBs tried out new authentic forms of assessment that they felt better suited their learners and in particular captured evidence in relation to the course learning outcomes. And a lot of that was around project-based work where learners had to engage in a project, gather evidence and submit it online to their educator. And it increased feedback where there was a range of new tools that could be used on-site and online to help learners and educators identify gaps in student learning in a speedy and timely fashion. And we all know those kinds of tools like Kahoot and Mentimeter, etc. The list is endless. So ultimately, when we are combining both on-site and online, you have more choices, your learners have more choices, and depending on your context, you can design a wider range of assessment tasks to fit your needs. What assessment tasks worked for you? So I want you to take a moment now and just reflect and think back over COVID-19 and particularly the emergency remote teaching phase, and what assessment tasks particularly worked well for you and your learners. Just make a note of it somewhere, and it's something that we will bring up when we meet live at our next session. So what tasks worked well for you? And maybe there's more than one, and think about it from both the formative point of view and the summative as well. Where to start? So again, I'm going back to the idea of backward design here. And we've met this previously. And again, just to reiterate the three steps. Number one, identify desired results. That is done through the learning outcomes where you start with. And the number two, then you determine what is acceptable evidence. What will you accept, or what will your QA person accept as acceptable evidence for achieving those learning outcomes? And the third part then is, in order to gather that evidence, you plan learning experiences and instruction. So today we're very much focusing on step number two and thinking about how we can gather evidence both on site and online to show that we have achieved those identified results. So that's what we're focusing on. On-site presentations and demonstrations. So we're all very familiar with this. This is where you have the learners in a space in front of you, face to face, and they are doing a presentation or a demonstration from an assessment point of view. I've captured in bullet form some of the things we should keep in mind here. And when we are thinking about on-site, let's think about some of the advantages first. So the immediacy and physical presence of the on-site experience can support real live assessments, such as student presentations, speeches, live presentations, performing in front of people where you need an audience, or where a student needs to demonstrate skills. And it may be easier to perform such assessment tasks on-site. Why? Because it enables you to observe and to interject more easily when it's done in a face-to-face setting. While COVID-19 demonstrated that we can move such assessments online, it typically adds another layer of complexity when done at a distance. So yes, we can do it, but if we had a choice, we would prefer to do it face-to-face. However, the use of online tools can help in the overall assessment process, where learners might record their presentation or their demonstration, and they might share it with you or with a fellow learner if they're in a team, to receive feedback, to get advice, and to make revisions. So on-site assessments capitalize on the physical presence, the immediacy, and human interaction. So when planning your blend of assessment, consider if conducting the assessment on-site better replicates the real-world experience, and if it better preserves the integrity of the assessment. So consider your context and that of your learners and see where the on-site presentation or demonstration would work best for you. Assessment approaches online. So at a macro level, there are four main advantages to using online assessments. They are reusability, automation, multimedia, flexibility of time and space. And I'm going to highlight these or touch on them in the context of using an online quiz. We're all familiar with the online quiz tools like Kahoot, Mentimeter, Google Forms, Microsoft Forms. And just to reiterate that these tools can also be used in face-to-face teaching and learning as well. So what are the advantages, the benefits of online quizzes? Automatic scoring, that's fairly self-explanatory. You see the score instantly, and if you note that a group of learners haven't done well on something, you can do something immediately. You don't have to wait until a summative assessment to get that information. Automatic delivery of specific feedback based on the student's response. Now, this is a little bit more sophisticated, but there are systems out there and there are tools which will provide the learner with specific feedback when they if they, particularly multiple choice questions, if they click on the wrong answer, they are given some feedback and they may get a chance to retake the question, or the teacher gets notification of where the learner went wrong and they can do something with that information later. The other big advantage with the online quiz tools is many of them, they randomize the questions and they give individual feedback to the student. So it's a much more inclusive and personalized form of assessment. And when you use an online quiz to identify gaps in student learning, it then provides increased time when you are back in the classroom face to face for more hands-on learning. And you can work with those learners who need extra help, and you can differentiate more and break up the classroom so that those that need your help or that need to work with their colleagues can do that. And also there is potential here for time saving, particularly on paper-based assessments. And again, that's very self-explanatory. While most online assessments use text-based questions, just simply type in the words, you can also use other media. So you can use videos, you can use audio, etc. And the learners can also provide evidence of their learning to you and to others by using multimedia. They can use audio, they can use video, they can use pictures, etc. So it is multimodal. And over time, this is the reusability, you can build up your question banks and you can provide learners with clarification, correction and guidance and in mastering the content or the skills in your course. And it frees you up to do more of that, and you have evidence, you have data that will help you to make those decisions. So there are some of the high level advantages of online assessment. Gatekeeper quiz example. So here is an example from the work of Steen and Graham, and they call it the gatekeeper quiz example. And it's a practice that we have come across, you've probably come across before, but it shows the value of blending assessments. So this is the way that it works, or this particular example works. So a student takes a test in advance of a face-to-face session. So you ask your students, you say, look, next week we're going to be meeting face-to-face and I want you to take this assessment. It's pre-scheduled on the class learning management system, which could be Google Classroom, it could be Moodle, or it could be Teams. And on the LMS, you have set a due date and a time. So it has to be done by Friday, 5 o'clock. And you can allow the learners to have multiple attempts at completing the assessment if you desire. You capture the data on how ready the learners are for the topic, and then that gives you material, that gives you evidence so that you can then adjust your teaching activities for the on-site, and it's based on data. So it's evidence-based. Now, you can use this approach to differentiate your teaching. You also have choices. You might decide that you would require all the learners to pass the readiness test before they attend the on-site. And you might even assign further material to anyone who struggled with passing the gatekeeper quiz. So this is just an example of how you can blend the online and the on-site, and it gives you choices in terms of those blends. Assessing papers and projects online. So this is another dimension of the use of digital assessment. And we're all familiar now with the idea of students submitting digital documents or digital artifacts. And that can be a paper, it can be a presentation, and it can be a video, etc. It can be a web document, it could be a website, it could be a blog post, it could be a wiki, etc. And we are also aware and familiar with the idea of providing feedback to the students in digital format. And what I mean here is that you can provide feedback to your students using the keyboard. You can type in comments, and Maria talks about comment only marking in the podcast. So you can do that very easily using digital. You can add audio feedback. We look at that again in another slide. You can provide video feedback to your students if it's appropriate on their digital material. For you and for the learners, it allows you to keep track of digital copies, so it reduces the amount of paper. And if you are engaging in any of these formats, the key thing is that you have a scoring rubric. And Maria, again, talks about this week in the podcast, to have clear learning intentions. What actually are you looking for? And she gives the example of drawing a house. And if you are getting learners to work together in teams, they need to have clear assessment criteria, again making it visible so that they can provide feedback that is based on the rubric. So this is a really powerful form of assessment, and a form of assessment that came to the fore during COVID-19. And again, I did some work with the Further Education Support Service, where a number of ETBs shared their stories about how they reimagined their assessment, and it moved to things like students doing papers and projects online. So this is a real option for you and your learners in the future if you're not doing it already. So set clear expectations. These again are borrowed from the work of Steen and Graham, and from my own experience in Hibernia College, where all of our assessments were done online. We need to provide clear instructions for any assessment, I would argue, but particularly when it's done in a blended way, because when the student is working on their own remotely, they need to know what is expected. And if we don't give clear instructions, they can waste a lot of time and energy and increase their own anxiety levels. So try to be succinct, but thorough in the information you are giving to your students. Completion dates and the way you want the submission, the format of the submission. And again, thinking about completion dates, in my own experience with Hibernia College, we used an LMS initially called Fronter, and it had a function where when the students logged in, it told them your next assessment is on whatever date, and there was a countdown clock. So they knew when it was due, and then we would have worked through making sure that they were clear on the manner of the submission. So it needs to be typed, and it needs to be in a certain font, and it needs to have a particular spacing, all those kinds of things. Next up is the need or the opportunity to provide previous examples. Again, in my own experience, we found this was invaluable. We provided anonymous examples of a high performing assignment and a low performing assignment. And the students, we worked through them with the students. The students were actually even able to discuss these examples. And it was very, very, very worthwhile and very useful, and something you might consider yourself as well, particularly if it's something new that they may not have done before. And finally, keep the technology use simple, unless it's a task that is assessing digital skills. And if you want your students to use digital tools in their assessments, either formative or summative, then provide opportunities throughout the course where they can use those skills and become familiar with the platforms and the tools that you want them to use, and don't just spring this on them the week before the assignment is due. Using audio and video feedback. Again, so thinking of blended assessment and thinking of the options we have, particularly when we're using digital technologies. I've provided a link to this page from Gemma Clark, Listening to Learn, How Audio is Personalizing Feedback. And when we use audio, it gives you more options. You can provide different forms of feedback. And the evidence is growing that learners enjoy receiving audio feedback as opposed to written feedback. So have you tried this yourself, or maybe would it be easier and take up less time if you were going to provide some audio feedback to your students? Maybe try it out if you haven't, even with a group, smaller group, and ask them, would they mind? Others have used video feedback, and it too has been very successful. So again, you have options here, and it can enable you to provide more authentic and richer feedback to your learners. So see if this is something you could try with your own learners. So some places to visit. So as we come towards the end of this section, I have provided a list of websites that you might like to visit where you can get specific instructions on using some of the tools like Google tools and the Microsoft tools to support blended assessment. And on this slide, just two examples. One is from the PDST. They have a web page on supporting assessment and effective feedback. Some really good stuff in there. If you're a Google user, there's tools for you, there's videos for you. And if you're a Microsoft user, there are other videos for you. And there's other ones included as well, things like Nearpod and Seesaw, etc., etc. Then on the right, there is the Google page. And again, this is very specific to using the Google tools to provide assessment and effective feedback to your learners. So I'd be interested to know if these are helpful. And as I say, I've provided a number of others on the materials page. So as we get to the end, I just want to summarize. And just this is a table again borrowed from the work of Steen and Graham. And I quite like it. They have the type of assessment down the left and then on-site advantages and the online. So when we think back on things like quizzes and exams, so they are easier to control against cheating when it's done on-site. So any form of exam, actually, I think is best done face-to-face in a hall. The online proctoring, very expensive, and it's questionable whether it works. The online advantages for quizzes, it provides you with the individualized questions selection, the automatic scoring and the multiple attempts like we looked at. Then looking at the live presentation and the physical demonstrations, the on-site, it's the sensory richness and the fewer technology barriers, less things can go wrong. But when you do it online, you do have the flexibility of space, which you do not have when you are doing it on-site. Papers and projects. The on-site advantage, peer review, may benefit from the empathy of the face-to-face interaction. When you're talking to somebody, it can be much easier to give them that feedback by looking them in the eye. However, there are also advantages on the online, the digital submission collection, the portfolio, the online rubrics, the peer review, where you can have a review by the learners with each other, and you can integrate it with gradebook integration, which is there in both Microsoft and in Google. E-portfolios, finally, it allows in the on-site for physical projects if they're making things. And again, it has the sensory richness. And the online advantage is the portability, the shareability, and publishing in the online space. And another one that's not listed there is that the material never gets lost. But ultimately, blended courses offer the broadest array of tools yet to assess learning. And it's about a balance. What will we do on site and what will we do online? And that will differ and depend on you and your context. So finally, this week, I want you to try out some blended assessments. I want you to think about a blended assessment task or activity that you could implement with your learners. And I want you to consider two things. How might you spread that assessment across the face-to-face setting, and how you can use some online tools or in an online space for the assessment as well. So think about it. What might work for you? It doesn't need to be complicated. Remember, keep the tech simple, but think about that backward design. I'd like you to try it out. I'd like you to reflect a little bit on it, and I want you to share that with us on the Padlet wall this week, if you wouldn't mind. So best of luck, and I hope you found this useful.